Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 166, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid, O thou that hearest those who cry. To thee by all shall prayer be made. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 166.
Congregation, let us this morning read out of the book of Hebrews, and that of chapter 10, and that of the verses 1 through 20. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 20, but let us first read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not to very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commerce thereof perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the books it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Thus far the reading of God's word.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Johanna de Kock, who has come home from the hospital. Also, Mrs. Jeanette Van Sluis, who was in the hospital overnight and is home again this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and heart-searching God, all-sufficient God, we try to draw near to Thee. It is the morning of Thy day, and we may receive a great privilege, our life, a little measure of health and of strength, and that we may continue in this life, but also that Thy word may be brought in our midst, and that we also may be under that word, that we also may be under the administration of Thy holy sacraments. Thou knowest our heart. Thou knowest the turmoil that can be within the hearts in this morning hour. Maybe none. Maybe no thought in all the week that is gone by. But it can be that there is also a great storm that is raging within the heart of this one or of that one. Lord, Thou art able to make all things well. Thou art able to open Thy word for us as Thy servant, to give what is necessary to bring forth things new and old out of Thy law, and to be able to show forth the way that Thou hast set forth in Thy word, that a miserable and a wretched and a hell-worthy creature may be received into a blessed communion. The way in which Thou dost lead Thy children from step to step upon that way of grace, the mysteries of salvation as they are experienced in the heart of Thy people. O Lord, help us then. Be Thou among us as one that serveth in the administration, but then in a special way, in the receiving. For we look unto Thee for the blessing, that we go not to our places, having missed that which is so necessary, Oh, we beseech thee then, that thou wouldst lend thine ear unto us, and that thou wouldst speak in the life of thy children, that thou may invite to thy holy table those for whom thou hast prepared it in this morning. Thou art able to take away all the obstacles. Thou art able to solve all the mysteries. And thou art able, even in the midst of all the turmoil, to show that it is thy own voice. Oh, that thou may then speak, and that thou may draw unto thy table those who need it in the midst of the Meshech of this life. For thou knowest also that a faith that is so small in the day especially in which we live, in the life of thy church, and therefore thou hast instituted it even unto the end. Lord, could it please thee then to remember the distressed, that thou may look upon all the afflicted, and those that are in themselves poor and needy, and who have not that which is necessary from their own side. O, give an eye of faith to look unto thee, the Son of the Almighty, the Lord of Sabaoth, who has perfected forever by one sacrifice them that are sanctified. That thou may open their eyes, therefore, that they may do it in remembrance of him. That thou may look upon those of us who may deceive ourselves. Lord, keep us then from partaking of thy children's bread. For hypocrisy is bold and presumptuous, but it shall be judged by thee. O, keep us then from walking in a way which shall be to our judgment. And give us true repentance, light upon thy word, to see what we are in thy sight for the first time in our life, before a holy and a righteous God. O, give a holy jealousy in the hearts of many who have at this moment no part or lot in the matter. O, give to see that they are standing then on the outside. O, that there may be a holy desire born for the first time in their life, for the blessed portion of thy true and living church, that they may receive that blessed communion with thee, and that born in the heart may be desire and love and longing and burning after the true and the living God. O, do open also thine only begotten Son, and that way of free and sovereign grace unto those who stand so afar off and who are not able to see it, who perhaps have never seen it. O, Lord, thou openest the sink of sin. Thou openest that which makes separation, but wilt thou also open that which reconciles, that thou may show him who stands in the breach, who has come leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, that in this day then he may be glorified and honored in the hearts of many, that thy name may be glorified in thine only begotten Son. O, draw then, by a true and a living faith, to the true and the living God. Solve the riddles. Forgive the sins. Lead and instruct thy children in their most holy faith. Lord, thou knowest that they carry a lamp that is upon their back, that they cannot see. They often do not know the next step that they must take upon that way. And therefore, the confusion sometimes can be very great. But wilt thou make it plain, that thy word may be in this morning a light upon their path, and a lamp unto their feet, that thy Spirit's power may be felt with much power, and that thy glory may be felt and experienced in the midst of thy flock. Look upon all the afflicted in this world, all that have not thy word and do not know the way, that we know in an outward way with our children, then there is a blindness not only of the soul, but also blindness of the mind and of the understanding. O give servants in thy vineyard, when we may meet together in this week also as a curatorium. O could it please thee to gladden us by thy deeds. Wilt thou increase the number of thy sent servants and bless the labors of all that labor also in the midst of the vacant churches? Remember those that are sick and afflicted, those that are not able to be in our midst, therefore, that listen perhaps by church telephone in this day. Remember them in their places. Also, those that have been in the hospital and are brought home again. Lord, the age that creeps upon them, and each one that goes to our long home, the difficulties they increase, oh, be near and dear unto them, and visit them this day with thy salvation. Look upon the children, upon the youth. Oh, when they may be here in this morning hour, oh, that thou may give to them a little patience. But oh, give to them in this morning hour a holy jealousy. Oh, Lord, they can be so, so young. But when they may be in this morning a witness of that separation that shall come, one day when they have to stand before thee, oh, give them then, as they may also witness thy holy supper. Oh, could it be in this very morning hour that a blessed spirit of thee may plant the fear of thee in their young hearts. Oh, that they may be drawn. And that the youngest of them, oh, none, are outside of thy hand. Oh, that they may have a cry born. That they may also have that portion of thy people. Lord, look upon us all together. Strengthen us to do the labors of our hands in this morning. Oh, we ask of thee what we need for our body, and thou knowest what it is. We ask thee what we need for our mind, the clarity to bring forth out of thy word, by the meaning of thy spirit, what thou wilt have us to speak, that it may be according to what is necessary in the hearts of thy children. That there may be place, that there may be room, and that thou mayest have prepared a word in this morning that is necessary for thy children. Help us then. Give thy Spirit in a rich measure. Take away all that hinders. Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 115, stanzas 1 through 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. I thirst for Thee. For Thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come Thy gracious face to see? The last collection today is for the Calgary Loan Repayment, Psalter 115, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, the words of our text you can find in the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the verses 10 through 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. So far, the words of our text. The bride recalls the speaking of her beloved. First, a loving call. Second, weighty reasons. The bride recalls the speaking of her beloved, first, a loving call, second, weighty reasons. My beloved spake and said unto me. Congregation, we have heard something of the bride and her relation to her beloved. And we have heard something of how that there was experienced by that bride a blessed communion, and that she had no desire to leave that place, but she was made to be reconciled with his will. We can read what the reality was in her life. For it is not heaven here upon the earth. And thus we read that bridegroom, he is departing again from that bride in the nearness, in the sensibleness of that communion. And thus we read here the behavior of this bride under the absence of her bridegroom. When we have heard together that the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, and then also in a certain way, then he is away from his church. And yet he is never absent from them with his majesty, with his Godhead, his grace, and his Spirit. But he is looking forth continually at the windows, and by times he may also show himself through the lattice. And now what is the behavior of the bride when she is under the absence of her bridegroom? Well, then that bride, she says, My beloved spake and said unto me. Thus, that bride, she is thinking. She is reminiscing. She is thinking about her bridegroom. Oh, what a more blessed thing can that bride do? And when that bridegroom is absent, then that bride should think upon him. Oh, so often it is different. When she is in the midst of this world, then she can leave him well enough in his place. But now when it is well, in his absence, then her thoughts, they are with him. And then her thoughts are also going over what he has spoken. My beloved spake and said unto me. That is, in a general way, then that bride, she has his word. that holy word of God, that she may consider each one of them are his own words, and then she may go over and consider what her duties are, what the privileges are of that church of God. And yet there is more, because she says, "My beloved spake and said unto me." Thus she may consider in a special way what that bridegroom has spoken unto her in a personal way. When she has heard his voice that is absent at this time, but then she may think upon it, as she may consider it, she may dwell upon it. Oh, how often then she must experience that the power that is gone out of it. And yet, even the thought of what he has spoken and what he has said unto her, that is so sweet, and that has given unto her in that time such a delight, such a comfort for her soul. And therefore, then that bride, she is holding on, as it were, as she is cleaving to that which he spake, what he said unto her, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up." Rise up. What does that mean, children? Rise up. Well, that means that that bride is sitting, or that that bride is lying down. Thus, when the bridegroom, he has spoken, and then he has considered what the reality of the life of that bride is, oh, then she is not always following hard after him, no. But then he is speaking about a time when there is a despondency. He speaks about a time when there is perhaps sloth. He speaks about the absence of faith. No, not the absence of faith in its essence, in its being, but the absence of faith in its exercise. There is a great difference. That bridegroom, then he will urge his bride to faith. Oh, then it is not that faith does not exist. No, because that is often in this world that we hear that you must believe. But congregation, that faith that must be there in order for that faith to be exercised. And then that bride, she has to experience that she is not always able to exercise that faith. "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up." So we hear a sad condition that that bride is in. Oh, she is perhaps in darkness. Oh, then there is for her no light. Oh, if only that she may receive not the full light of the sun even. But oh, it has been sometimes so long that she has received but a single ray of light. That word of God that is so closed up, that she receives nothing out of that word, and then despondent. Why? Because there is no access. Because she remembers the former days, how that it was, and when she went with joy with the multitude to the house of God. But now she does sit. Why? Oh, because she cannot even find a prayer to pray. Oh, she receives no word from the Lord. Oh, she is sitting in despondency, or she is sitting in a way of sloth, in a way of carelessness. Oh, she, deep down, she knows it. Oh, she feels it. Her heart that is hankering after this world. Oh, she is so far away from the Lord. Oh, she is lying on that bed of sloth. And she knows it, she feels it. Oh, it is not as her heart desires it to be, no. But to come out of it, oh, arise up, the bridegroom has said. Oh, then she is in a way maybe of doubting. She is in a way maybe of misgivings. Why? Because of trials, because of afflictions. That she is asking, does the Lord indeed know of me, of what I am, where that I am? Oh, maybe fears that I will leave everything and go back again after the world, or that the Lord, he will depart never to return. My Lord has forsaken me. My God, he hath forgotten me. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Thus, that bridegroom, then he does show the remedy for that sad condition. He calls her. Oh, he calls her with great lovingness, with great kindness. As a husband who is calling his wife, who is sitting or lying in a way of a despondency or has strayed from the right path. Oh, then he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, come. That is, congregation, that bridegroom, he is calling that bride to faith. That is what that word come means. Because how is it that church does come unto him? Ho, he says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Without money and without price. What is it to come? Then coming, that is, in a way of faith. What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Oh, that is, by the way of faith. No man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Oh, that is the impossibility of giving the essence, but also of the exercise of faith unto ourselves and the experiencing that is now a gift of God. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Why is it necessary? And that bridegroom would so call that bride to the exercise of faith. Because, congregation, there are people in the world, they do not need such a calling. No, they have that faith always. They can always believe. But Boston, he says, if an angel came from heaven, and then he could not make that people to doubt. But it is now so different with that bride. Because what do we read in the Word of God? The Lord Jesus, he says to his disciples, he says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then it was that it necessary that he himself would rebuke the winds and the waves. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, rise up. there are so many obstacles for that people to believe. Oh, to believe the favor of the Lord unto my own soul. Oh, there is the obstacle of sin from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet that is standing so in their way. The obstacle of guilt, the obstacle of continued unholiness and uncleanness and unfaithfulness, and that worldly heart and that worldly life, that vain heart that is desiring all that is still in this world, and then that flesh that is warring against the spirit. Oh, then they cannot even find that spirit sometimes, that they have to say, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, why is it then, how is it that I am thus? Oh, that is the sad condition that bridegroom, he is calling that bride out of. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, rise up. As dissatisfied with that condition, oh, that you would come away from such a condition, from such a despondency, oh, and unto whom? Oh, come, come away, turn your back upon it, he says, and come unto me, into that nearer union, into that nearer communion, that you may receive rest, that you may receive peace in all your tribulations. But that people, they are not so easily convinced, no. And therefore we find in our second thought that he gives weighty reasons. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Oh, what does it mean? Oh, congregation, in the winter time, and then the rains were there. And when it rained, then you understand that those roads, they were not as today. And so everything became muddy. And it was very difficult then to travel and to come to the place of your desire. And then there were obstacles that were coming in the way because of those rains. And so it became so very, very difficult. And now, what does that bridegroom say? He says, the winter is past. He says, the rain that is over and it is gone. He says, everything has been dried up. And now all the obstacles are out of the way. And now there is a free path that you may now come. Oh, he speaks, congregation, of the clearing away of the obstacles, every obstacle that is between God and my soul. Oh, he says, the winter is past. There is a winter congregation of separation. Oh, how long is that winter? And that must be experienced by that church. That winter of separation, where they have to experience that they are so alone in this world, and that they have not that blessed favor and that communion by faith and exercise. Oh, there is a winter of barrenness. There is a winter of unfruitfulness. that they have to experience that contrary to the desire of their heart. Oh, that they cannot bring forth that glory to God as they ought to do. Oh, there is a winter of coldness where everything, oh, you would think that it was so frozen up so that there was no life left anymore. Oh, that there is no desire anymore, that there is no longing anymore, that there is no burning anymore. Oh, that the Word of God, that does not move me anymore, that the consideration of death, that is falling on a dead heart. Oh, that winter of coldness. Oh, there is a winter. There is a winter of affliction. There is a winter of temptation where the heart that is tempted to go out yet after all in this world that cannot satisfy, to forsake the Lord, to turn again because it is not giving unto me what my heart's desire is. Oh, the winter is past. That is the voice of that bridegroom. Oh, who has more authority to declare that winter is past than that bridegroom who has himself taken away all the obstacles, who himself has dried up all that which would make that way to be impossible. Oh, he says to his bride, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Oh, there is nothing anymore that is standing in the way because I have taken out of the way everything that did stand in the way. Oh, what is the cause of that winter of separation, of that winter of unfruitfulness, of that winter of coldness, of affliction, of temptation? That is all sin. Oh, he says, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Oh, that he has taken away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that he has made peace by the blood of his cross. Oh, that he has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against that church. Oh, that he has himself suffered that winter. That winter of that wrath of God. Oh, surely he has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. Oh, and the rain of the wrath of God did fall upon him. And when the whole hell was permitted, congregation, to come against him in that garden and upon that cross, when his soul was in great agony, even unto death. Oh, that winter of condemnation that he has experienced, when they all did condemn him to be guilty of death, and in Pilate himself, the judge of the earth, oh, in him, the judge of heaven and earth, he has also condemned his only begotten Son. Oh, how he has endured that winter of separation in those moments that he so did miss the communion of his own Father in that blessed Trinity, when he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then silence, silence. Oh, that sentence, no, that was not taken back from his Father, not in those moments. Oh, having loved his own, we read, he loved them unto the end. Oh, he says, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Oh, it was the winter of his own sufferings, and that he has endured even unto the end. He was tempted even upon that cross. Oh, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. But no, oh, he loved them unto the end. And there he remained until he declared, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Oh, it is finished, he says. And now what does he say? He says to his bride, he says, the winter is past. Oh, it is past. Oh, it is past, Church of God. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. And he gave proof of it in what? Oh, he gave proof of it in his resurrection. And the Father gave proof of it in the resurrection of his only begotten Son. Oh, when he has raised him from the dead, in the declaration that it's his justice that is satisfied, and every demand of my holy law that is now fulfilled. And that winter, all that winter for that Church of God of separation from the true and the living God, that winter is now past, and that rain that is over and gone, and there is not one jot, and there is not one tittle, and that is standing between God and his church. Oh, nothing. There is not one little part, little piece that needs to be added. No. Oh, to think so, to consider so, is so to dishonor that blessed Son of God who has declared that it is finished and who declares to his church that winter that is past and that rain that is over and gone. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. What does that bridegroom then call his church unto? Oh, he calls his church not to merit anything. He calls his church not to merit anything. He only calls his church to one thing, and that is to receive the reward. Come, he says. Come, and come receive the reward that I have purchased for you. All that is not to fight in the warfare, that they may receive and gain the victory. No, that is impossible. Why, what does he say? Oh, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? Oh, it is impossible. Oh, that church could never attain that victory. But he says, I have attained that victory. Thus, he calls them not to gain the victory, but he calls them to gather the spoils. To gather the spoils from that victory that he himself has gained. Or we read of David, that there were 200 men that were so weak that they could not go forward over that brook Kidron. Oh, they stayed behind with the stuff. And then the others came back. They said they can have their wives and their children, but they get nothing else. Oh, congregation David, he said, no. Oh, no. No, they shall divide the spoils. And now, that greater David, he says, I myself have gained the victory, that I may give unto my church the spoils. Oh, congregation, proud unbelief. That is what we have, each and every one of us, that we do not just want to receive the spoils, all that comes in a way under a cover of great humility, but it is so proud and it is so dishonoring to the Son of God, who wants to have the honor for the victory and who will not give that honor for the victory over sin unto his church. No, but he will take the honor for that victory only unto himself. Oh, when we when we reject him, oh, how shall it be for us on that great day of days? What a condemnation, congregation, because of our lifting up of ourselves in pride. That is what our first father did. But now his church, oh, the church of God, they see it, but they see it through a great mist so often. They see it through a great darkness. For lo, the winter is past. The rain that is over and gone, all that is. The words of the great bridegroom. And they have heard something. They have seen something of it. And yet, oh, how often does that church not fear to perish? Not fear to perish. And why? Because of the lack, no, not of the essence of faith, but the lack of the exercise of faith. Because that faith joins to him. It joins to him. And when we may be in him, oh, then there is nothing anymore that is standing in the way. Oh, congregation, if we could have but a crumb of faith. Oh, like he says, as a grain of mustard seed, then we could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And oh, if we had such a crumb of faith in exercise, oh, then we can see that winter is past, and that rain that is over and gone, and then is gone also the winter of barrenness, and the winter of separation, and that winter of unfruitfulness. And therefore he has given his holy supper, that he may give that faith once again in exercise. May the Lord revive the work of his own hands and bring his fainting and his church that is in despondency once again to see him as him who has put away the winter and the rains and made that way again clear between God and their soul. Amen. The form for the holy administration of the Lord's Supper will now be read, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may not celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, that we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposes henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sect, mutiny in Christ or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sin, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with the zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. As to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we may by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle said, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixed itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake. Our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only showing this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and eternal covenant of grace, and that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 137, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O my people, I will speak. Against thee will I testify. Give ear to me, O Israel, for God, thy covenant God am I. I do not spurn thy sacrifice. Thy offerings are before my eyes. 3 through 6 of Psalter 137. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Congregation, once again, a week of preparation, of examination that lies behind us. And each one of us, we do stand individually before God. That table, and that is now prepared, and it is ready to receive whom? Oh, he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then it is necessary for good order that we be a confessing member of the church. But, oh, children, then we have to say that we cannot receive you at this table, but, oh, that in your heart might live what is in the heart of God's true people. But what does he say? Oh, he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And who is that, my love? Oh, we have heard it, the voice of my beloved. That is now what is experienced in their heart. Oh, from his side, he says, my love, my fair one. But now from their side, oh, what is the evidence that is living in their heart? Oh, and then she says, the voice of my beloved. Oh, if this may be known by us, congregation, in the smallest measure, oh, the love for that beloved, the blessed Son of God. Oh, and how we have heard it. How is that love worked? Oh, then we have seen him once, just once. Then we are spoiled for everything. When we have seen him just once, leaping upon the mountains, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, then we are aware of what those mountains of separation are. Oh, they have become, by the grace of God, the burden of our heart, the mountains of sin and guilt, the mountains that separate us from that true and living God, my Creator, my Maker. Oh, then the mountains of impossibility ever to overcome them. But now once in our life, for that Word of God, the smallest part of it to go open, that I may see his victory over all those mountains. No, not my own victory, but his victory, that I have seen him once leaping there, oh, that I have seen him once skipping there, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound than I have seen it, and that it is no longer a broken covenant of works, but it is a new covenant. Oh, a new covenant which he will make in those days with them. Not that they must do and gain the victory, but he says, I will put my law into their hearts, and I will write my word upon the tables of their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. Oh, when we have seen him once then, skipping upon the mountains, leaping upon the hills, oh, then we say that you may arise up. Rise up, my beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. This do, he says, in remembrance of me, in a time that I am not with you, even until the end of the world. When I am at the right hand of my Father, and when I am looking forth at the windows, and when I am watching all that is going on here below, and knowing what is living in the heart of my own children, oh, then I know it. Oh, I know it. That winter. Why? because, oh, he stands so behind our wall. And then we feel it. Oh, even the bride, that experienced bride of the church. And then she has to experience that wall of separation because of her own sin, time and again, to make separation between her soul and the Lord. Oh, that separation that causes great grief to her heart. Is that known to him? Oh, it is known to him, and she cannot take it away. Oh, she can only sit in her own stink. But oh, when he may show forth himself through the lattice by moments, then he may give a little relief. And when this life, my friends, when this life is not strange to us, then he also calls as a command, as a duty, in the midst of his church, are there any more that must confess between themselves and the true and the living God that they are not strangers of that life? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. You say that is too high for me. My love, oh, if I loved him, then would I be thus. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. And now between the Lord and your soul, oh, Peter, he says, Lord, thou knowest, despite my life, despite everything, how it is in my heart, Lord, thou knowest all things, despite all my inconsistencies, despite my faults, despite my heart, despite all that shows on the outside, thou knowest that I love thee. Congregation, are there then no more that desire to show forth the death of the Lord till he come? Then this table is closed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. my beloved spake, and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That is something, my love, my fair one. How is it possible that he can call his bride my fair one? We know what his bride did say of herself. She said, I am black. And so she sees herself. And yet from his side, then he says, my fair one. No, not that he sees not the sin of his church, but he sees her in and through himself. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. And therefore, he has set before his church these tokens of bread and of wine, that he may lay before his church continually that which has gained the victory over sin and over evil, which is the burden of the heart when it is right. Oh, so often it is too little. But when it is right and it is burdensome, then to see these tokens is to see that he is the one who has gained the victory. And now that winter is past, for there is nothing else that is required of his church. And then there is nothing that is able to stand in the way anymore, if only we may be joined unto him by a true and a living faith. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appear on the earth. Oh, the flowers, when they appear on the earth, and then we may know that the winter is past, because those flowers, they are coming up when? They are coming up when the sun that is warming the earth. And now, when that Son of Righteousness, he may warm the earth and the winter is all taken away, then there may be a little bit of warmth. And then we may know something, that winter is past when there is a little bit of warmth. A dead body, you know how it is if you have ever lost one of your loved ones. And then you touch that body. Then you know it is cold. It is frozen cold. There is no life in it. And so now is that life, when it is by nature. When that winter is there, when that sin is there, and the separation is there, and there is nothing that goes out after the true and the living God. And now the proof, and that winter is gone, and that the rain is over and gone, is that warmth and that comes in the life of a newborn soul. And how that soul does long and long for that warmth to be received again. And so he says, the flowers, they appear on the earth. And how beautiful are the flowers when we may see them. And then how beautiful when he may view his own work, when he may see what he has done. And when those flowers are coming up, then they have a great fragrance also unto himself. And that is for us what we cannot comprehend, but it is according to his holy word. And the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Oh, did you ever become jealous of the birds when they were singing? That you say, oh, those birds, that they are singing to the glory of the Lord. And now, that winter of silence, when I cannot sing, when there is separation, and when there is nothing that is passing between the Lord and my soul, and when it is so very quiet, Oh, but now he says the singing of birds is come. And when that winter is past, and the rain is over and gone, and the flowers appearing upon the earth, and then the birds do sing, and yes, and then my heart may sing. It may sing more than the birds, because they are created, but my soul is redeemed. And then it shall sing higher than all the creation to a never-ending eternity. How the children of Israel did sing, and when they stood on the other side of the sea, and when they knew from what they had been delivered, and then they sing of grace, and they sing of mercy, and they sing of the redeeming love of the Lord. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. What is it? It is the fruit. Oh, the fruit, you say, if only I could bring forth. And just the smallest fruit unto him. Oh, the winter of barrenness, and the winter of unfruitfulness, and the winter of walking through this world, seeming like I am a heathen, like I am a Gentile. But to have just the smallest crumb of faith in exercise, that I may bring forth a little fruit unto him who has gained the victory, and when I may be united to him by a true and living faith, that he will bring me through all this world of unfruitfulness and of barrenness, there to receive a place with him where the fruits they may give forth their good smell to all eternity. Arise, my love. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away to a true and an active faith, away from all your slothfulness, from all your vanity, and from all your carnality. That is necessary for him over and over again to say it unto his sluggish and to his slothful church. But it is also his desire that so they may live while they are here below. Oh, to give him all the honor and to give him all the glory, and to begin to sing here below what they shall continue to all eternity. Let us sing a little bit of it, what we have in 422. Stanza 6, 422, stanza 6, Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is ere our fortress and our tower. And after we sing, the communicants may return to their places. beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 426. Stanzas 3, 4, and 10. I cried, Deliver thou my soul, O Lord. Jehovah heard. I pledge him my devotion. The Lord is just, his grace wide as the ocean. In boundless mercy he fulfills his word. 3, 4, and 10 of 426. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.